Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It has not been a pretty 2025 year for either of the professional Baltimore sporting franchises. The Orioles, they just finished last in the American League East for the first time since 2021, and the Ravens are off to their worst start in 10 years. Joining us now, Cordell Woodland, Ravens beat reporter, Orioles beat reporter, hosts the Fresh Take with Beltway Ben Hall. And Cordell, let's start with the O's real quick. I know you were at the season-ending press conference with Mike Elias and interim manager Tony Mansellino. Just what were some of your biggest takeaways from that presser?
Yeah, I mean, first with Tony, you kind of got this vibe. Look, I don't know how this thing is going to go with him. I still tend to believe that they'll have to, that they'll go get an outside manager because you have to. I think it's important just for a variety of reasons, but specifically with the messaging to the team and this fan base. But I can't lie. I mean, as the year has gone on, especially on the back end, you start to kind of feel like it's a realistic possibility that he could be back.
Mm-hmm.
And just being there today, and hearing him talk, I mean, I don't think it was necessarily anything he said that grew that feeling, but just the comfortability. He seems very content. He seems very confident right now. So I don't think it's a sure thing that he's gone. I still Mm-mm. believe that it should be a different manager in place, but I can't say with certainty that that'll be the case. Also, you know, they may or may not, probably may not, hire a GM this winter. What else? I mean, they still believe in the young core. You expect that.
Of course.
I did ask him about the injuries and everything and looking into that. You know, they said a lot of the usual. You know, they're embarrassed. They're disappointed with how the years went. They're going to try to rectify it for next year. Mike Elias still said that he expects his team to not only be a contender to win the division next year, but to win the World Series. So it was a lot of the same old, to be honest yeah. with you. I can't sit here and say that I left there feeling like, oh, yeah, the Orioles are headed into the offseason to do great things. I don't know.
Well, it also seemed to me, Cordell, the way they set it up, it was almost like, to me, pretty telling in that, the GM, the head of baseball, VP of baseball operations, whatever he is now, he could amplify, like the interim skipper, who's probably going to be the regular skipper, had the answers to the test, and he got to say them first, and then his boss came in and amplified it. Like, he talked about Adley one way, Elias talked about him the exact same way. He talked about the leadership issue that clearly exists, downplaying it, saying, no, they're better leaders than you think. Of course, his boss said the same thing. Like, he talked about the fact that none of their alleged core could hit, and they weren't protected enough in the lineup, as if it's something they can just fix from the inside. That's pretty much what Elias alluded to, too. Like, I thought it was, like, I don't know. I found it, I've never seen anything like that before, where someone is accorded that sort of public setting, who's supposed to be just one of 8 or 10 who are going to have a chance to get this job publicly. And then the boss comes in and pretty much is like, yeah, what he said was right. What he said was right. What he was said was right. Did that strike you at all?
I mean, no doubt the fact that Mansellino was up there at all in the situation that he's in, being an interim, and like you said, one of 8, one of whatever the pool is going to be, it's still an unknown going into next year. The fact that they're on the same page in pretty much everything mm-hmm. that was said, especially about individual players, I'm not necessarily surprised by that. Nope. He's still going, you know, he goes out there today. Whether he has a job for them tonight, tomorrow or not, he's up there as representing the Orioles as their manager until we're told otherwise. So, I mean, that's what he's going to do. He's going to go out there and give the same messaging that they want to give. And they can say what they want, but the proof is in the pudding, especially it goes beyond this year. And I think over time people understood they couldn't hide behind the injuries, that it goes beyond just the injuries, especially as more of these core guys got back healthy and, you know, you start to put two and two together and you start to see what they have been over the long term. And as a unit, they just haven't produced anything to this point. They've got the division title, no doubt, the two playoff appearances without winning a game. But I will say this. I do believe, at least maybe it's more hope than anything, that they truly do believe that they have to do something different this year. They do have to do something aggressive and maybe against their playbook that they live by, like it's the Bible. Maybe they have at least learned that part because they did talk about Toronto going from last to best this year and just the competitiveness of the division alone. You do hope that they are willing to go out there and try to beef up this team that needs a lot of help.
We're speaking to Cordell Woodland. It's Inside Access on the Fan. Cordell, let's get to another depressing topic, and that is the Ravens coming off a 17-point blowout loss to the Chiefs yesterday. And are you hitting the panic button on this team yet, Cordell, with the injuries mounting?
Absolutely. I mean, I can't believe that I'm buying into this. But this... I think that this could just be scratching the surface, mm-hmm. honestly. It could feel just like the other team that we were just talking about
yep.
and how that season started. And, you know, it took some time for maybe as a collective for everybody to kind of believe what they're seeing. But with this team, especially at the NFL, you're not afforded as long, and you only have but so long before you can make up mistakes. And my issue with this team is obviously the injuries are concerning. That's the obvious part. But it's not like they looked great when these guys were healthy, especially on the defense. The running the ball is a real issue. That's a real issue now. Lamar not being there is the big one. And they could realistically go into the bye 1-5.
Yeah.
I mean, that is very, very possible. And sure, everybody will still give them the benefit of the doubt, and rightfully so. I probably will to a degree, to where they could still find a way to get into the postseason. But man, I do believe that this is a team that has underlining issues that maybe go a little beyond. I mean, I think we're seeing them, but it's tough to understand it when you look at how talented they are when they are healthy. I think it goes beyond just what the eye can see in some of the cases.
What did you think of Harbs? And we're going to hear from him, I think, shortly. Kind of calling out Todd Monken after the game and again today.
Yeah. So I got a couple of thoughts on that. Like, I can understand a little bit of kind of similar to how he did it with Kyle Hamilton a couple of weeks ago. And I felt similarly about that. Like, all right, you know, everything that went on in that game,
yeah.
you're calling out Kyle Hamilton.
For the lateral.
Like,
yeah.
what about Trenton Simpson, who had the debacle trying to down the punt at the one? Like, but I understood that, okay, Hamilton can take it. Simpson probably
right.
can't right now. And maybe it's a little bit of that between Monken and Zach Orr. Everybody's throwing eggs at Zach Orr right now. He's the low-hanging fruit. The defense is abysmal. Everybody's looking at him. So it's easy to throw it on him and go to Todd, who can take it. And Todd will honestly hold himself mm-hmm. as accountable. Todd will go up there and rip himself.
Yes.
But I will say this. I think it's a little bit more to that. It's even more to me disappointing that he's not calling out the defense because, all right, I get it. you know, Zach Orr is started out rough for him these first 2 years. This defense, unlike last year, there aren't any real other options, especially as these guys continue to get hurt. But also, last week, I asked John if he had thought about taking any more, you know, control over the defense a little bit, and he answered and said he couldn't be any more involved in a defense. So I think also a little bit of call, if he is going to call out the defense, he's got to call out himself,
right?
Too, because he's a big part of why they look so bad.
He's Cordell Woodland, Ravens beat reporter, Orioles beat reporter, host of The Fresh Take with Ben Hall. Cordell, thank you, man.
Thanks,
we'll
buddy.
Talk soon.
Appreciate it, guys.
Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we did our six-pack for the defensive observations earlier in the show. Well, it's the offense's turn at 5:30. And speaking of the offense, coming up next, in Purple Rain, John Harbaugh calling out Todd Monken. Exactly what you were saying, Jason. We're going to play that sound next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On the fan.
Yeah, I don't think our approach was good. I think we didn't stick to the plan that we had. We had an idea how we wanted to approach their defense, and we didn't stick to it. You know, and I'm not happy about it. Neither is anybody. None of our coaches are happy about it. Especially, I'm talking about the coaches right now. You know, that was us. You know, so it was not a good job.
Woo! That was John Harbaugh earlier today, a couple hours ago.
Meanwhile, his defense has given up 133 points so far this season.
That was
more than anybody.
That was in response to how he thought his team handled the blitz.
Top five scoring team in offensive points. Worst in points allowed, and we're worried about Monk. And I get it. Everybody should always be fodder for potential questioning. This is the pros. But I do think this is pretty interesting how he's going out of his way now on day number two to come after Monken, who, as everybody said, can take it. And it's, what is it trying to do? Not us talking about the fact that nobody has a clue on defense.
John Harbaugh rarely does that, though, in terms of calling out
That's
players, calling out coaches. Like, I think this is talent where, like you said, Jay, this isn't him caught up in the moment in his post-game press conference.
No,
like,
this is day two.
Dude, you've had a full 24 hours. Like, you know what type of questions you're going to get. Like, PRs were, like, he wanted to get a point across. And here's John Harbaugh more on the struggles later in the game.
And then later, you're going to be aggressive. You're going to go for it. You go for it, and you don't have a good plan. You just don't. You don't have a good plan. And we didn't do a good job at all. We all know it. We all agree with it. We came up short. We didn't put our players in the position we needed to put them in to execute and convert on third and short and fourth and short. In the first half and throughout the course of the game. And those are just like turnovers. There's no different than turnovers because you put your defense on a short field. So we just got to own all that, understand it. That was bad ball, and it can be fixed, and we got to fix it going forward. That's how I see it from a football standpoint.
This feels like season on a brink to me, man. This is a must-win game. This thing is
teetering.
This thing is teetering on full implosion.
It's kind of shocking here again.
It's September.
You do not hear John Harbaugh take that stance against his coaching staff. I'm sure he has. He's been here for almost 20 years at this point, but I can't recall off the top of my head. Here's more where he was asked, I guess, to maybe soften the blow. Oh, coach, you know, you're missing Patrick Ricard. Like, how much does that factor in?
I haven't thought about that. You know, I can't measure that. You know, I think I think Zaire did a good job, though. I can answer that question for you. I mean, I watched him. He blocked well in those plays. You know, he did a solid, good job. I'd say a real good job. You know, he's only in there for 9 plays, but I thought he blocked well. So I don't think that's really the issue of it. I think it's much deeper than that. If you're saying that we didn't run the ball because we didn't have Pat Ricard, the answer is that's not why. You know, yeah, we should have been running the ball, a number of those. Or have some more creative passes up than just drop back passes in those situations.
Wow.
Mug's presser on Thursday is going to be fun, man.
Zach Orr is the greatest defensive coordinator ever. He's going to be a future head coach. And we had Chuck Smith telling us 6 weeks ago that he basically walked on water.
God, he's like, I got a Mook as an offensive coordinator.
I don't know how. We scored like 120 points in 4 games. I don't know how. Jeez. With this Mook calling plays.
God. Here's more.
Let's ride the lightning.
On the Ravens having no rhythm on offense.
Well, I don't think any of us where I'd like it to be. You know, we don't have a rhythm on offense right now. I think we've got to, it's just going forward. The challenge is to get a feel for, what we want to do and how we want to do it. We got to regain a rhythm, and yeah, it's execution at times. It's choosing what we're going to do in certain situations. I don't know if it's so much about pre-snap adjustments, so to speak. That's kind of a broad way to state it. But, there's going to be times you want to be at the line of scrimmage and you want to be able to get into the right kind of play, for sure. That's part of an offense, and everybody does it. We do it well. We had some really good plays doing that during the course of the game and the course of the last few weeks. So that's going to be part of our plan, for sure. I mean, that's important to be able to do that.
Just want to interject a fact here. So the Baltimore Ravens have scored 131 points. That is third most in the NFL. Yet they have a -2 scoring differential because they've allowed the most points in the NFL. The Detroit Lions have scored 137 points. They're +49. The Bills have scored 133. They're +43. They're 31 and they're -2. And we're really kicking Todd Monken in the nuts?
Yeah, I was reading.
What's wrong with this picture?
I was reading some of the quotes on Twitter and hearing it. It's even worse.
Indianapolis Colts are fourth, 123 points scored. They're +40. The Colts, we're -2. We're scoring 40 a game. I got news for you. Monk's not the biggest problem in your building.
It's an interesting stance that Harbs is taking. And like I said, I can't wait to hear Todd Monken's rebuttal to all this. Hey, your coach thinks you stink, man. What a game plan you had going.
How they ever won shape. With you?
What the hell? Coming up at 5:45.
Quit getting in the way, Monk.
We're going to give you the text of the day, but
wow.
Coming up next, it's our six-pack,
I got to rearrange mine. I had Monk under fire, #3. I got to bump it up to #1.
Six-pack next. Jason, if John Harbaugh was participating in this six-pack, I think it would be infinitely more entertaining. His six observations, man, of his offense.
Six
yesterday.
Things I hate most about Monk.
Holy moly, that was something. We're going to play another cut after the break, and obviously a lot more tomorrow. But John Harbaugh had to get some things off his chest, man, in regards to his
body
offensive
blow, body
coordinator.
Body blow. Woo!
Six-pack, our six observations for the Ravens offense. Let's get started.
#6.
Penalties. And it was a huge issue for this Ravens offense last year. And when we were trying to nitpick, okay, what are some areas where they could get better? Mm-hmm. Well, they were 31st in penalties last year. Yep. So it hasn't been a huge
Not
issue.
Not this year until yesterday.
Until yesterday. And the pre-snap penalties, you had Lamar Jackson with the 2 delay of games. There was an illegal formation penalty that wiped out a big play. Also, non-procedural-wise, intentional grounding and a holding call. So you had 5 penalties on the offense altogether, and when it was struggling like it was yesterday, it only makes it harder on.
Yeah, your 6 is my 5. My 6 was, why was Isaiah Likely up for this game? It's a big game. I mean, if that was going to be it, what are we doing here? You could have got another running back up and maybe Keaton Mitchell in the screen game. I maybe another, not that you have enough offensive lineman is. I just found that an odd way to use him, and it just kind of struck me a little bit like the Jair thing, where I'm looking at the head coach saying, "Why? I don't get your numbers. I don't get your usage."
Number five.
Yeah, I mean, five is that the sequence that will probably be the lasting one for me is that delay game, intentional grounding.
It was like
that's hard. That's a hat trick. It's hard to top.
Unbelievable. My five. Get into what John Harbaugh was talking about. The short yardage play calling / execution and Derrick Henry not being on the field in third and short and fourth and short will always be puzzling. You don't have to give him the ball in those situations every single time, but him being off the field takes it's just a big thing that the defense doesn't have to worry about. You don't have to worry about the 250-pound battering ram possibly getting the ball, because odds are Justice Hill is not going to get a carry in those situations. And the Ravens not converting in those situations, it crushed them. And we saw it against the Lions. So we saw it against the Browns. Short yardage situations where it was automatic last year has been anything but.
Number four.
My four. The pressure and negative plays continue to be killers for the Ravens. And Lamar Jackson was pressured on 48.1% of his dropbacks, highest pressure rate he's faced in a game since week four. And he was not good when under pressure in this game. 4 of 9 passing for 62 yards. And he did have that interception. Sacked 3 times. That's the 3rd straight game Lamar Jackson has been sacked at least 3 times. And again, I'm not putting it all on the offensive line. Lamar Jackson has to wear some of this. The only quarterback to be sacked more than Lamar Jackson is Cam Ward.
We're basically simpatico. I've got the offensive line separate above. This is just my four is there's not enough answers versus the blitz. From Monk to Lamar to his hots to the O-line, they're not able to adjust. They're not able to adapt. They're not seeing what's going on. They're the 5th most blitz team in the NFL. Lamar had a 30.8 passer rating against the blitz in this game. And almost 50% of opposing blitzes for the season are resulting in a pressure. Yes, no Ricard is a part of it. Not having Likely to help win downfield is a part of it. Rosengarten having a bad start and Stanley getting knocked out of this game are a part of it. But I just feel like philosophically something's off, and Harbaugh going off on his offensive coordinator kind of speaks to that as well.
Yeah, it's a slight lean to Jason. I did like Tim with the short yardage play calling. Don't understand why Henry's not on the field, but not enough answers to the blitz when you're playing a Spags defense, when you're playing a Kansas City defense that you know blitzes you every time you play, and you go out there and look the way you did. It's unacceptable.
We're doing a 6-pack of our 6 offensive observations, and let's continue.
Number three.
The spy is now in Lamar's head, and the frustration's growing. And we've seen this tactic before, and it's worked, and some teams have used it expertly, like the Chiefs. And really, I feel like last week the Lions, and even the Browns a little bit before that, borrowed from some of Spag's blueprint. But teams that have active linebackers, and especially teams that now maybe don't have to respect this offensive line, can keep that spy in. And when a hole emerges, he can have a delayed blitz, and it keeps Lamar from stepping up in the pocket. And I think now Lamar's internal clock is off. 2.64 seconds on the season to pressure. 5th highest in the NFL. 3.2 is his time to throw. That's the 3rd highest in the NFL. You don't want to be holding the ball for 3.2 seconds. I think the spy has something to do with that. He also does not have a rush of 20 yards or more to this point. We saw him run into his offensive lineman again at times when he did take off and go. He seems very unsure of himself, and this tactic is working incredibly well. And without that 300-pound fullback to come in and blow that linebacker up, it might continue to be an issue. And the Texans have the kind of linebackers who can, and D-line, who can take advantage.
This offense has a ton of pressure on it. And with that pressure, they got to find ways to get 7 instead of 3. And this red zone offense was fantastic last year. It's not that good this year. It just isn't. They converted 74.2% by far and away the highest last year in red zone. This year it's 53.8%, which is tied for 19th in the NFL with the Cardinals. With all of these weapons that the Ravens have, they got to be better in the red zone. And you settle for that field goal yesterday. I have no idea why John Harbaugh opted to kick it, but
blame
he did.
Monk.
So he was one.
He was sick of seeing all Monk's crappy plays. So
bring on the looper.
This is where it gets to what you've been talking about a lot, Jason. This offense, they've struggled to sustain drives and consistently convert on third and fourth down. They got dominated in time of possession, 35-25 yesterday. They went 4-for-14 on third and fourth downs. And after that touchdown drive, their next three drives, they had three drives the rest of the way in which they ran six plays, at least six plays. That's it. They struggle to sustain drives.
My two is the general manager did not fortify the trenches on either side of the ball. It's just like in the other six-pack where the D-line and edge is a big problem and there's no depth there. The offensive line is compromised. 15 sacks allowed. That's a joke. And some of them are on Lamar, but that's a joke. 12.1% sack rate allowed, second worst in the NFL. 43% pressure rate allowed, fifth worst in the NFL. Ronnie Stanley's been charged by True Media with allowing three sacks and eight pressures already. Rosengarten's been beat eight times, and Noteboom is not a left tackle. They have not replaced McCary. They haven't drafted well. The mid-round picks aren't panning out. The guards, what's happening to Fa'alele is pretty ugly. They've got major issues, and Ronnie Stanley's ankle's been a concern for years. You needed to have a legitimate second option to him. And red zone plays, everything, play calling, it's all being compromised because they can't win up front.
Number one.
Worst defense in the NFL, but Monk's on the hot seat. The heat's all Monk. I had it at three. I told you, I moved it up to one. I mean, the head coach seems to really have it out. For the OC, despite them scoring 131 points in four games, like, this is going to be an interesting dynamic. And yes, Monk's been through the wars, and Monk can take it. But I just wonder how guys on the team respond, because, like, there's a lot of issues with the offense. It's documented. But the only reason, like, they're not 0-4 is because of the offense. Like, I feel like something culturally is really off with this football team.
My number one's the same one with the defense, and that's the injuries. You lost Lamar Jackson. You lost Ronnie Stanley. I didn't think that Ronnie Stanley was even going to play in this football game.
Probably
shouldn't. They tried to, and then Joseph Noteboom came in, and you're talking about two of the more irreplaceable players on this offense, quite frankly, this team. The quarterback, number eight, which we'll see what his status is come Wednesday for the first practice, but Ronnie Stanley as well.
Way to take down the ginger gorilla.
Harbs doesn't think Monken can adjust the right way, but Jason did here, right?
You know, going into it,
that's the big thing.
You got
to
audible sometimes.
You make an adjustment.
Give the people what they want.
Right, that's exactly what it was done.
Publicly flog your OC.
We got one more break to go before we turn it over to Infinity Sports Network. And we're going to play one more cut from John Harbaugh talking about his offense. We'll also give you the text of the day next on the fan. Before we step out, I wanted to play one more cut.
Let's
from
go.
Harbs talking about Todd Monken. And if you missed it, well, go back on the Odyssey app. Jeez, we played
it at
5:15.
I don't know if the Odyssey app's functioning right now.
That's a good point. Well, Spotify, what, iHeart, we're on every single app. Just go find it. Ben labels everything. And we're going to play more of the sound tomorrow. But here's John Harbaugh on his offense and how poor it was after the game-opening drive.
You know, offensively in the first half, you know, the second, third, and fourth series were the series that kind of dictated the game for us. It put our defense in a couple of tough spots, and those are situations where, you know, we operate better. We score points, and it's a completely different game. I mean, you know, what happened with the interception? I thought the linebacker made a nice play, but it wasn't a good play for us. It wasn't a good play call. It wasn't a play where we put our guys in the right position in that situation. I'm not happy with it at all. None of us are. They ran a double backer kind of blitz inside where they were right in Lamar's face, and we had downfield routes with no checkdowns, you know, and I think we were chipping our way out trying to take care of the edges, and they run an inside blitz, and it's not picked up. It's not going to be picked up. And
blame Mark.
And Lamar throws it, and it's a tough throw, and the guy makes a nice play. I mean, the guy made a great play. I give him credit. Leo made a nice play, but that kills your drive when you're moving the ball right down the field. So, no, I don't like that play call at all, or that the result of that. And then we have the series where we have the two delay games. I mean, that's what knocked us back. And then you're back there really second and 10, and you make another type of a situation where you invite a blitz, and now you got the penalty and Lamar backing up. I mean, that was a bad series for us. I mean, we just got to look at it honestly as a coaching staff and just say that was not good.
Fireball offense.
Put ourselves in that situation. Then the next one was a tip ball, a screen they defended, then a tip ball. Next thing you know, you're third and 10, and you're off the field there. That was a more normal one. But those three series, I think, dictated the course of the game.
There you go. Dude, they've allowed 133 points. Like, what are we doing here? The Dolph protests too much. Like, they didn't punt till it was 37-13 or whatever. Stop.
I've never heard
that was
John
a
Harbaugh.
Pop gun offense against everybody except for you.
I've never heard John Harbaugh go after a coach like that.
And like, they're probably in cahoots. And he might have told Monk, "I'm gonna lay into you." So those idiots in Mount Washington just talk about that instead of the fact that I hired the wrong defensive coordinator. Like, I don't know. Like, come on now.
That is it for us. Tomorrow's show, hopefully Ken Wyman will be back.
Will Monk still be employed?
Mike Bordick will be back with us, Oriole Hall of Famer. And Jacob Calvin Meyer, who is at the end of season press conference.
What a press conference.
Will be joining
Aloysius
us.
Aloysius said no food.
As well. Really?
Yeah. Cutting corners. Every penny counts.
Well. Don't turn away, because we got Infinity Sports Network coming your way next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.